There's a great deal that one could talk about in this morning's Torah and Haftarah. There's Rosh Chodesh. There's the position of women associated with Rosh Chodesh that we will hear a little bit about from our Bat Mitzvah. There are other topics that I'll talk about in the sermon on this day. But I thought that since in our parsha, both Miriam and Aharon, Miriam and Aaron, Moses' sister and brother, die in this one parsha. And because it talks about the fact that Israel mourns Aaron for 30 days, it would be a good opportunity to spend just a minute, really just a moment, reviewing something about how it is that Jews mourn. Because sooner or later, we all find ourselves in the position of losing people whom we love. And it's good to remind ourselves what the Jewish attitude is towards that inevitable and painful life event. The idea of Shiva, of 7 days, is mentioned several times in different places in the Tanakh, in particular in the book of Job. When Job loses his family, his friends come and they sit for him with 7 days and weep with him. One of the things they don't do is say anything. They just weep with him. Anybody who has ever been at a Shiva house knows this is very smart. Because it's very easy to say the wrong thing to someone who is in pain. And sometimes when you go to a Shiva house, you hear things and you can't believe that people actually said that. But it comes from the compulsion to say something to make it better, when in fact there's nothing you can say to make it better other than to let the person know that you are there for them. So the first of this graded mourning is Shiva, but there even, by the way, is something before Shiva, which is in between the time of the loss and the time of the burial, you're what's called an onen, and you are not responsible for any of the mitzvot. That is, you don't have to pray, you don't have to go to services, you don't have to light candles, you don't have to do anything until Shiva begins, and then you follow the practices of Shiva for 7 days. Not, by the way, including Shabbat. If, for example, you're wearing a ribbon with a tear or clothes with a tear, you don't wear that on Shabbat. On Shabbat, no one is a mourner. Even though you're just as sad, you don't follow the practice of Shiva. So at the end of 7 days, you then have Shloshim, 30 days. Where do we get the practice of Shloshim? From this morning's Parsha. Because the Israelites mourned for Aaron, for 30 days. It doesn't actually say how long they mourned for Miriam. For Aaron, for 30 days. And so we get the practice that for 30 days, there is a lesser period of mourning. Some people still won't shave for 30 days. Some will, and there's variations in the law about that. But it's clear that the 30 days are more intense mourning than happens for the rest of the year. And then for parents, you mourn for a year. By the way, only for parents. No one else gets a year's mourning in Jewish tradition. No matter how close you are to them, how much you love them, really only your parents get a year. Why that is an interesting question that we can discuss another time. But officially, only parents get a year. And even though they get a year of mourning, they do not get a year of Kaddish. How long do you say Kaddish for? 11 months. Why? According to the rabbis, the reason that you say Kaddish for 11 months is, in the Talmud, Rabbi Akiva says the maximum punishment for the wicked after death is 12 months. So if, and you say Kaddish, there are lots of reasons why, but one of them, traditionally, is to ease the passage of the soul to its ultimate destination. If you said it for 12 months, you might be saying that your parents deserve the maximum punishment, which would mean that they're wicked. And since you don't want to say that, we say Kaddish for 11 months as if to say, clearly, whatever help my parent's soul needs, it wouldn't be the kind of help that somebody would need if they were truly wicked. So you say it for 11 months in deference to the status of the soul of your parents, and then you're not allowed to say Kaddish anymore, even if you want to. You're not allowed to practice mourning rites anymore, even if you want to. You only say Kaddish then on the Yortzeit and on Yizkor, only on the anniversary of the person's passing and at the Yizkor service when we remember all those whom we've lost. Because the purpose of mourning for the person who mourns is to return you to life. That's the idea. The idea is not to keep you in sadness, but rather to enable you to return to life, which is why after a funeral, when you go back to someone's house, if you are a mourner, what are you supposed to do? You're Jewish, you know this. What do Jews do? Eat, right? We eat, that's what we do. We're Jews, we eat. After synagogue today, what will you do? You will eat, of course. And it's called a Sudat Ha'avara, which means a meal of passing. That is, you pass from the state of mourning. The first thing you do after the funeral is eat, as if to say, I mourn the loss of the person that I loved, but I am still in this world and still have to treat myself and my body as a living thing, so that it helps return you to life. And that's why the process of mourning is set out for you, but you're not allowed to exceed it, even if you want to. Because after all, as long as we are in this world, we owe it to God not only to remember those who have died, but to live the life that God has enabled us and given us the blessing to be able to live. And with that, let's bring everybody in as we turn to page 1200.